Today, we spend our final pre-election show by taking a step back, relaxing, and asking each other, how you doing? This week on Trust Circle. Hello! Welcome back to episode 10 of Trust Circle.
Yes!
Double digits. I almost said double O. Not double, all the way back to the beginning.
Double seven.
We have made it to double digits. Mm-hmm. Episode 10. That seems significant, right?
We're big kids now.
When I was 10 years old, I learned how to write sonnets. And I wrote a sonnet for this girl who was in my class. And I read it to her at recess, and she slapped me.
Awesome.
This story isn't true.
So if you are joining us for the first time, or for the 10th time, this is Top Shelf Gaming's number one and only video game podcast, where every week we take a video game topic and talk about it in terms of video games and in terms of everything else?
Sure.
Except not this episode, because it's special. But before we get to that, hi, I'm your host, once again, 10 episodes in a row, Devin Valdivia, and I am joined once again, for the 10th time, my wife, Valerie.
Bonjour.
She is not French.
Je ne sais pas français.
No.
And Top Shelf Gaming's number one and only founder, editor-in-chief, and Super Saiyan stutterer, Marcus Garrett.
Hey there, ladies and spaghettis.
And there it is.
Hey there, ladies and spaghettis, because I also didn't say it last week.
I'm gonna double it up.
Wow. Do you keep like a tally? Do you carve like tallies into your bedpost?
I carve them into my skin.
Oh jeez.
Do you want to see my back?
Oh jeez. So
some of it's still raw.
We've been at this now for nine times. This is our 10th game.
Can you tell we've gotten better?
We've gotten so much better. But we thought it being a numerically significant episode, we would do something a little different and just kind of freeform it, just kind of chat. I don't think we've actually had a good chance to really sit down and just kind of dish.
Let's just rip it out a little bit.
We do plenty of it before and after the
chew
podcast.
Chew the fat.
I've always hated that.
Chew the fat.
Yeah, and you as a vegetarian probably shouldn't even say that. Like, you should feel guilty, like, deep down inside right now.
No, I feel superior because I don't chew the fat. Therefore, I can say it without guilt.
I know what I'm making for dinner tonight.
Says the white person.
I'm making a steak.
What's that, men? Men.
Oh, no. We're both privileged and... in different ways.
So, Marcus, you and I are still obsessed with video games, so there will still be plenty to talk about. And we have some news to talk about that we'll get to. And in case, you know, that stuff gets a little too intense for my lovely wife here.
In case I faint.
let's return.
In case I get the vapors.
Let's return to our favorite.
What's that phrase? What's it mean? It's time for...
Word of the week.
Ooh, brother.
So, Valerie, this week, what's your word?
I don't know. Give me prompt.
Well, by the time this airs...
Oof, by the time this airs...
Oh, jeez. Reckoning.
Yeah, so hopefully you are able to actually listen to this. We haven't, you know, been plunged into nuclear war quite yet. Hopefully,
at least not till January.
Who knows? Hopefully you voted if you are of voting age yesterday.
If you didn't vote, I'm mad at you.
Wait, you might be mad at me, and I'm not sure yet. Here's the thing.
We might be mad at Marcus.
Here's the thing. I just got my mail-in ballot today.
You can mail it on Tuesday.
But... Aren't the really results?
It'll get counted.
But how?
Here's the thing. We live in California. Hillary Clinton's going to win. Doesn't matter who you vote for. But your votes will still get tallied. They don't stop tallying at midnight on Tuesday. As long as you send it off and it's postmarked by Tuesday, it counts.
When is the president selected?
After all the votes are counted.
So
here's the thing.
Okay.
One... people usually win states by larger margins where, you know, you can assume that mail-in votes aren't, or, you know, the remaining mail-in votes aren't going to change drastically. Your vote will still get tallied into the overall tally. It will still be counted.
Okay.
Here's like, I haven't mailed mine in yet. I'm mailing mine in tomorrow.
Here's the part where you're going to hate me, because you say that to me, and that completely demotivates me from wanting to vote. Because to me, that
sounds like... you want to pre-order your vote?
To me, that sounds like my vote doesn't actually matter.
But it does.
But if they're all... But you basically just said that...
You have to...
They're making assumptions that my vote's not going to affect...
No one person's vote is going to affect anything. You have to remember, millions of people vote in these elections. Your vote will still be tallied.
Yeah, there are a million... upon millions, like, grains of sand on the beach. It's like, if one of those grains of sand, like, was not there, but if none of those grains of sand were there, there would be no beach. But having one less grain of sand does not make it not a beach.
Yeah.
Wait, has this gone off the rails?
Yeah, I don't know.
I think this has gone off the rails.
Your vote will absolutely be counted if you're...
It just won't influence anything.
No.
All right, great. I'm in.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so if you want, you can turn in your mail-in ballot to your polling place on Tuesday. You can walk in, hand it to them, and there's your ballot.
Okay.
So if that's going to make you feel like you're in on the day, then do that, and you're good to go.
Maybe I'll do that.
Yeah, no, do that.
If it's not inconvenient.
But as long as... Oh, so you don't give me that. No, Marcus, you're a
millennial.
Give it
to me, I'll hand it in. Can I do that? It's probably legal.
Yeah. Actually, you literally can. There's a little thing, like, if you sign it, and you write her name, you can... Well, no, her polling place is different, so whatever. But you can give it to someone else. I looked at this just yesterday, because I was like, how do I do this? But no, as long as your mail-in ballot is postmarked and sent in by Tuesday... It will be counted. It'll just be counted at the end. It'll still influence it as much as your vote would have ever influenced the election.
What, you mean like the end of the day of Tuesday?
It'll just be counted later than had you gone and voted Tuesday morning or something.
My question is, when is the president crowned?
Sometime.
The president is crowned once statistically the numbers are relevant enough, and then usually the losing candidate will secede. Or not secede. Concede. They're not going to drop away from... Well, we'll see. Who knows? You guys know by now what happens. No, your vote will still be counted. It will still be processed. Everything you vote for, not just president, all of your measures, all of your other congressmen, Senate people, like, that will all be counted.
Your propositions.
So please do not vote, because it's going to come in a couple hours later than if you had gone Tuesday morning.
Or a couple days later, after it's over.
It's not over, though. Votes still get counted.
On Wednesday morning, when this show goes up,
yes.
Will we know who is
yes.
president?
Yes, because the margins are going to be far bigger than one vote.
I don't know. So, if I mailed it in Tuesday...
Yes.
They don't get it till Wednesday.
Well, here's the thing. But if it's...
Someone's already selected, even before they receive my vote.
So I don't know where mail-in ballots get sent. They might just get trucked over to the nearest polling place. Like, here, chuck it in and count it. Like, I don't think they're not sending it to Obama for him to open up at his leisure, 3 days later in Washington.
When he has time.
Yeah.
Let's take a little look at these ballots.
Netflix and vote.
Michelle, come help me open these envelopes.
Sure.
With her... Let me rip these open.
With her buff
arms. With her buff arms, yeah.
Michelle's arms for president.
Mm-hmm.
Just the arms.
Yeah. Just arms.
The rest of her can come along with the ride, but the arms are what's in charge.
Well, the rest of her will be educating
the children,
American children, on how to stay fit.
On healthy eating habits.
But her arms.
If you want arms like these.
If you want your arms to be president, then eat your vegetables.
But this is all nonsense, because it's already happened. It's all in the past. So hopefully, if you, like Marcus, did not vote because it was inconvenient or didn't want to mail it in, I should poke you in the eye just a little bit. Not enough to like cause damage, but just like to bug you.
Not enough to make them like your eyes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I won't give you glaucoma. I'll just annoy you a little bit. Especially if you're in, you know, your early mid-20s, like, don't fulfill the stereotype.
You can't complain about the results if you don't participate.
Well, you can, and we will. It's just going to look really silly and be unjustified. Everyone can complain about everything, and we do it all the time. But anyway, so reckoning is your word of the week, so anytime you need to jump in, ask a question, have some video game term clarified, just call it out and we'll go. That being said, Marcus, how was your week?
Hey, it was a long week. So, I have been transitioning my life and the flow of my day-to-day. Mm-hmm. And I'm not...
Because the time changed?
No, but I mean, in some ways, that kind of contributes to it.
Yeah. It's getting a little dark already.
Yeah, and that's... and that's
it's like the afternoon still, and it's sun setting.
Well, that's what's kind of sad about this time of year.
Oh, I too. Love it.
I don't.
Oh, I
don't
love like it
because I go to work, and by the time I leave, it's just pitch black, and mm-hmm. you know, it just
you really adopted the darkness.
It's kind of sad.
I was
to me.
Born into it.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm not a big fan of this time change. And this time of year in general, I'm not...
Really?
Yeah, I don't... I'm not a big fall, winter person. Oh. I don't like these holidays.
Valerie, can we continue to do this?
Yeah, because we'll show Marcus that they can be good.
I'm not a big fan of Thanksgiving or Christmas.
So let me ask you this. Are you not a fan of those holidays, or are you not a fan of family gatherings?
I'm not a fan... I guess about of how those holidays often manifest themselves. Mm-hmm. I love the meaning behind them. Mm-hmm. I feel like a lot of we've gotten it wrong many mm-hmm. times. I feel like Christmas, especially, I'm a total Mr. Scrooge, and I've even written the last song that I've finished mm-hmm. was a pessimistic Christmas song, and you know, I just over the last like decade mm-hmm. Christmas has made me more and more bitter, and just the idea of what it's what I've seen it, you know, just being more about presents and more about mm-hmm. like selfishness and capitalism and mm-hmm. and buy more and more and more and mm-hmm. and less about, you know, less about family and less about charity and less about all of these things that, you know, really make this time special. Mm-hmm. And so over time, I don't know, I've just really been totally down on this time of year and you know, hoping that it doesn't stay that way, because I think there is a lot of magic to this holiday season, but I feel like now most of that magic is for the most part artificial and commercialized. So yeah.
Well, I've got news for you. You're going to be visited by 3 ghosts this Christmas Eve, so get ready for that.
Looking very, very much like Bill Murray right now. No, I think that's valid. I probably couldn't feel more opposite to you about this season. Like, basically from here till the end of the year, like, is my, like, this is my zone. Mm-hmm. One day it'll finally start cooling down. Not this coming week. It's still, we're in, like, mid-high 80s this coming week. But once it starts cooling down, I do get, you know, getting out of work, it's already darker. That's kind of a bummer, but, like, the nights just feel like, I was talking about it the other day, like, there's something about, there's like a weird energy that I feel about around this time, and it makes me like more nostalgic, makes me more like introspective, and I can't pinpoint like any one reason. I don't think it's because Christmas is coming. I don't think it's because the weather is changing. It's some sort of like weird, like mixture of everything that like there's a certain like feeling I get, and I will have this through the end of the year.
I mean, maybe just like the palpable seasonal change like manifests itself like psychosomatically in you or something.
It's like, ah, my knee's twinging. It's going to rain. Yeah, I don't know. But like, but I absolutely love this time of year. But all those points you made are totally valid. I mean, we've already seen the very beginnings of it, whether it's
Starbucks
cup. With the Starbucks cup, whether it's the outrage, or the perceived outrage, the outrage. like, it's already, and that is getting worse and worse.
And, like, the downside to being really into, like, the holiday season and whatever you consider that. I've totally experienced the downside of that, whereas, like, the first 2 weeks of January are just, like, such a bummer. And, like, you're just like, what do I do now?
Nothing's coming. There's no hope. I understand where those feelings can come from. But I think one of the fun things I'm realizing as I become more of an actual adult and not just a legal one, and even like us being married now, is like, you begin to sort of, you like, as you grow older, you get to recreate your culture. You get to recreate your traditions and recreate, you know, the standards by which you live. And so us, like, we're in the midst of recreating a lot of like what our culture and our home is now. We're not living with our parents. I still accidentally refer to my parents' house as home. I did it just earlier today.
Yeah. I was like, ooh. It's really not,
like, no, like, this is my home with Valerie. And, like, we set the rules now. We set our new traditions. We set, you know, the culture we want to live by. And so I think it's good to keep. It's something that I learned through college. I had to change my culture. And you both were a part of that. And so I think part of that can be reclaimed by making some decisions about, you know, changing your personal world, even though you can't change your outside world. And it gets muddy, and like, you're completely justified in feeling what you feel about it. Like, you're definitely not alone in being bummed out and cynical by this time of year, because there are plenty of reasons to be. But yeah. So do you have anything slightly more uplifting about your week, or was it just
the dawn of
fall? You got new classes.
Yes.
There you go.
Yeah. They look lovely.
Thank you. They
look very sharp.
This is a plug from our non-sponsor, Warby Parker.
Ah, you went Warby.
This is my second Warby pair. Though the ones that I had last time were also Warby Parker. Their glasses are really good.
Don't give them free marketing.
What?
If you want to hear the rest of that, pay up, Warby.
Yeah, pay up, Warby. I really like them, though. and they got that whole Tom's thing going.
Yeah.
One for one.
Yeah. You buy a pair of glasses, and they give one to people who need glasses. And it's just a cool company.
Yeah, I mean, that's one of the, you know, Lisa does that, too. Every 10 batches, they'll donate a mattress to a shelter. And, you know, a lot of things. There's no reason for companies like that to not do that. If you have the means to do that, like, do that.
Yeah.
So it's good. It's good to see more companies adopt kind of that Tom's model. But what happened to Tom's? I've heard anything about Tom's in a long time.
They're still around. I think the trend is just dead.
They're just kind of like doing their things. Like, okay, we're good.
Do you wonder though, or like, has the trend died down, or was the popularity just that specific age group? And we're outside of that age.
That's a good question.
That's a really good
question. Because I remember opening weekend. Wow.
Opening night.
Opening weekend of college. Orientation weekend of college. Oh my gosh.
University.
Of
college.
Of uni. That's one of the distinct memories I have. Just like every pair of feet I saw was betomsed.
Yeah.
And I was like, should I get some of these? Everyone has these.
I mean, I'm not going to lie. Like, I got my pair of Toms. Out of, you know,
quote unquote
peer pressure.
Yeah.
But I will say, freaking comfortable. But they don't make the style I have anymore. They were like slightly more shoe looking. They weren't like the shoe version. They had like legit shoes.
They're the laces list ones.
They came with laces. I took them out though, so they look really silly with the laces. But like, they are legitimately one of the most comfortable pairs of shoes I've ever owned ever, and they better be for the amount that they were. But they don't make that style anymore, so I'm like,
Never going back to Tom's.
Now Devin just wears plastic bags on his feet.
Now I just wear Warby Parkers.
It's really expensive. They keep breaking.
Yeah. These shoes are not sustainable.
I want to get back to you.
Okay.
But Valerie.
Mm-hmm.
Tell me about a movie we saw yesterday.
We saw a movie starring the internet's boyfriend, Benedict Cumberbatch.
Pause on that.
Uh-huh.
Can you tell us the name that you have for him? Okay, well, I'll say it. And you'll have to correct me because I don't even remember.
I'm not sure where this is going.
Okay.
It's Eggs Benedict Cucumber Man.
I haven't heard that one.
I don't think I've ever called him that.
I have heard another name, and I don't know that originator.
Wasn't that you? Oh my god. We had this conversation.
Well,
I mean, it's entirely possible at some point.
We had this conversation.
Hey, renegade. What was my word? Ragnarok.
Renegade.
What was it?
Reckoning.
Reckoning. I've heard the internet give him a different name, and I don't know. I can't credit this because I don't know the origin. But Bento Box Lumberjack.
Bento Box Lumberjack.
Which is pretty choice.
Okay,
so what was our Eggs Benedict?
You actually said that though.
I mean, I'm proud of myself. I do say
but
a lot of things.
You brought it up. How am I the only one who remembers this?
Because it's actually a dream.
We laughed about it. We had jokes about it. Eggs Benedict Cucumber Man.
I don't know, Marcus. I'm drawing a blank.
Oh my gosh. Was this someone else? Another married couple? I think you're my only married friend.
I think you might have been experiencing an alternate reality. Sidebar into Doctor Strange.
Bam.
A movie about alternate realities and mirror dimensions.
Parallel universes.
And mirror dimensions.
Well, not so much
and
alternate
multiverse
realities. Anyways, continue.
Anyway, so we stranged yesterday.
What'd you think?
I thought it was pretty good.
Well, pause. How are your general opinions on superhero movies?
Well, as the audience may know from my previous complaining, I've been experiencing an acute case of Marvel fatigue. Characterized by symptoms of tiredness upon viewing explosions. Eye fatigue upon viewing various celebrities zapping each other.
Marvel zap.
Marvel zap.
But, so this movie, whilst I wasn't planning on seeing it, like, originally, I kept seeing snatches of positive reviews of it from reviewers that I trust. So... And with the reason that I decided to go strange was that one of the main things that the reviews were saying was that how original and impressive the visual effects were, and that is probably my favorite part of the movie.
Yeah.
Such as is the case with many of these superhero movies, the plot was bordering on thin, but the effects were like I've seen a lot of effects. Like I've seen a lot of special effects. I think I got a pretty good idea of what computers can do. But then like this movie did do some stuff visually that I'd never seen before.
Mm.
Which you know, is suiting for a movie. Gosh, where are my words, guys? Which is fitting for a movie about like alternate universes and mirror dimensions and things like that.
Alternate reality. Parallel universe.
All right.
Okay, pedant, right. Calm down.
I'm just saying, if you're gonna talk smack about the comics,
I'm not talking smack about the comics. I'm talking smack about previous Marvel cinematic creations.
When did you once mention comics?
Yeah, thank you, Marcus.
Well, she mentioned borderline thin storylines, so you know.
No, that's called screenwriting.
That's called comic book storylines.
Hey, we've seen some really good screenwriting based off of comic books, like Luke Cage, like Jessica Jones,
like Captain Underpants.
Captain Underpants. Did they make a movie of that?
I think they're making
a TV show, aren't they? Or
there was some media.
Yeah.
Hold on, audience. Marcus is Googling.
I almost Googled Google. Captain Underpants movie 2017, baby.
Wait. Oh, it has.
It has a trailer.
Is it live action?
No, it's totes animated.
Is it nice. Digital or?
We DVD should. We should watch that afterwards. I'm interested.
Yeah, watch it.
Well, I mean, I'll have to wait a little bit.
Well, to Underpants line.
Kevin Hart?
Oh, God.
Is the voice of...
What?
The Gerald, I think his name is?
Wow.
I don't know if this is actual casting. Or this is just a picture.
Just fantasy cast.
Yeah, I wonder if that's Dreamcast or actual. Yeah.
Dreamcast?
Uh-uh. Reckoning is
Valerie, making our console. First video game reference this entire podcast. Yeah.
Unintentionally, so it doesn't count.
It totes counts.
That definitely counts.
It totes counts. Sorry for saying totes unironically. Please forgive
me. Yeah, Marcus, there's an audio record of you saying totes.
Oh, no.
I want to just scratch those files.
Just ruin my own life.
but to second what you said, I went, you know, Doctor Strange, kind of like Guardians of the Galaxy, was one of those comic universes, stories, that I basically knew through proxy, like through association with, you know, Spider-Man or Thor or Iron Man. So I'm like, oh yeah, I've seen that raccoon on some other thing, or I've seen that dumb cape somewhere else. And so going into this was exciting for me because, you know, with Thor, with Captain America, those movies, like, I want to see them and I enjoy them. I love Civil War. But I know that... Yeah, we know. But I love...
I'm awake.
But I love those stories. And so I am excited to go see them, but I know what to expect. So this was getting that excitement and also, like, not having any idea of what was coming. So I felt like seeing Iron Man for the first time, because Iron Man was that character.
Yeah.
When Iron Man came out, no one really cared about Iron Man.
Yeah, no one did.
Like, that movie made Iron Man relevant. So this was kind of reminiscent of that experience. Like, oh my... Well, there are some pretty parallel lines you could draw between Doctor Strange and Tony Stark. From the facial hair to the lifestyle, but...
Arrogant, talented doctor, or arrogant, talented engineer... You know, gets in a traumatic accident that changes their course of life, and that traumatic accident eventually causes them to discover they're not superpowers, because Iron Man does not have superpowers. He builds a super suit.
Yeah.
And Doctor Strange does not have superpowers. He just learns how to, you know, master these mystical energies and stuff.
So that's actually the thing I want to talk about a little bit, not to get in. If you haven't seen this, go see it. But, like, I actually really liked the way they pseudoscience justified magic existing. Like, it was kind of cool. The gist is basically it's, you know, infinite universe, that whole theory. They're like, okay, that's real. And so magic works by tapping into energy and pulling energy from other universes into this one and harnessing that to do things. And so it's you're not conjuring something out of nothing, it's you're pulling, like, actual energy from another universe into this one. And so it's learning how to do that.
Yeah.
And they even kind of talk about, you know, like, oh, you know, like, people in the past have called, you know, this spells. You could call this, like, you know, tapping into a source code. And so, like, it's acknowledging, like, that magicness of, you know, how the comics read and just magic, like, how someone would think of it in the ancient past.
Yeah.
But trying to, in a comic booky Marvel Universe way, make it seem just plausible enough to be like, oh, okay, that doesn't seem, you know, incredibly stupid. Because I think they could have made magic seem ridiculous, and that was my worry with this movie. Like, how are they going to fit? You know, they brought in... Like, they justified Thor being a god by making him an alien.
Yeah.
Like, that's kind of weird. But in a strange way, the way they pseudoscience magic and does actually sort of makes Thor make even more sense. Through him being an alien. He's like an alien from, like, a different, like, realm universe thing. And so it all kind of, like, locks another little puzzle into their weird Marvel power science.
It Lockies.
Yes.
It's a Loki joke. Oh, God. Thor's brother. Okay.
But no, the visual effects are very impressive. And I think at this point, you know, whether it's movies or games, we can basically do what we want. And so what's...
You can't tell me what to do.
You can't say what I can, Mom.
You're not my real dad, Jerry.
But what was impressive was, like, technically things look really good. But it was... Someone had to plan that out. Like, that longish fight in the city.
Mm-hmm.
Like, someone had to think of all that choreography and, like... Mm-hmm. That hurts my brain a little bit because there were some crazy things happening, like, all, like, layered on top of each other.
Mm-hmm.
And so, on top of being visually impressive, like, artistically, like, stunning.
No, I mean, I think that's growing ever more important now that we can basically create anything out of thin air with digital effects. Like, since we have that capability, now there needs to be even more of a vision in order to rein in those possibilities. Yeah. Just so they don't sprawl out of control like they do in, like, a Michael Bay movie, where it's just visual chaos. There's no, like, rhyme or reason to the effects or things like that.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not enough for them to look good. It has to actually, like, affect you and be impressive on a level beyond just fidelity.
Well, I mean, that's what our buddy Colin has been preaching about about video games.
Yeah, exactly.
Games are getting so... I mean, we have so much processing power now that we can make video games look really, really pretty. But every generation of, you know, video games has been marked... of console games has been marked by how pretty we can make them.
Mm-hmm.
Now we're starting to get to this like, plateau.
Mm-hmm.
And Colin is suggesting that, you know, the future of video games isn't how more realistic we can make games look, but new ways of playing, and, like, what really will impress is just, like, creating innovative gameplay experiences versus just, like, really, really pretty games.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, go see Doctor Strange. It's like you said, the story's fine. There's nothing wrong with it.
It's the story's just not the most impressive part.
And
the visuals are.
I think it actually, like, you saying that the director is Christian, like, in a non-pandering way, like, there's interesting, like, through lines now, knowing that you can kind of, like, it's good. Like, I mean that in a good way, however you take that. But go see it on a big screen. Go see it in a theater. Like, the effects are worth seeing.
It's definitely one that merits that size of screen to take it all in.
If I do see it, I'm honestly thinking of IMAX 3D.
Yeah, it'd be a good one.
We went and saw it in digital XD.
Yeah.
Which, man, so screen, it, you know, it's not IMAX, but it's bigger, and that's fine. But when they did, like, the intro with, like, the speakers, they did, like, all surround things, like, for the chat, it's like, oh, you're in XD, like, that is overwhelming.
I had to cover my ears, because it was too loud. It was hurting my poor earsies.
It reminds me of, you know, the THX thing, where it would just scream at you, just,
when, like, I was little, I had to clap my hands over my head out of fear.
And then it's, like, anxiety-inducing. But, you know, this is, like, that, like, times two. So it's, like, you know, it's, like, oh, things are shooting all around you to show off the surround sound, and it's, like... But to do that...
You came for a sensory experience? What about a sensory assault?
Yeah. But, like, you know, not, like, you know, swirling waves or, like, birds. No, like, how about, like, shattering crystal? Like,
it's,
explosions.
The logo, like, was expulsed out of a... Like, that was a shattering crystal.
It was, like, the most violent, like, ear-shattering noise you can create.
Just not pleasant sounds at all.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But, yeah, no, it's good.
It's good.
It was good.
So, other than Doctor Strange... Mm-hmm. You did other fun things that involve this table that we have our mic on right now.
Mm-hmm.
That's a weird way to set that up.
Yeah, we have the mic on a table, not a TV tray, because we rearranged our furniture because we hosted D&D.
So it's not that we have upgraded, it's just that for this week,
I moved a table and have been too lazy to move it back yet.
Yes.
And it worked out in our favor.
Calculated laziness.
We will be back to our regularly scheduled...
Jink.
Wobbly, shoddy
TV
setup,
tray,
yeah.
No, but Valerie and I, we hosted D&D this week.
Mm-hmm.
We have been a part of a D&D campaign for, like, 2 months now.
Dungeons & Dragons for you...
For your noobs.
For your babes out there.
We've been having...
Solid several weeks,
We had some friends over. Our regular DM got a flat tire on her way over, so she wasn't able to
Dungeon
come.
Dungeon Master, Reckoning.
Dungeon Master, she controls everything. And so, there were just four of us. It was me and Valerie, and then the couple that initially invited us. And so, Harrison, he just kind of filled in for the DM and just made up a story kind of on the spot. Did a pretty good job.
Pretty darn good job.
And it was just us just kind of having fun with our characters and just doing silly
characters.
Things.
I'm a dark elf and a bard.
Yes. I'm a sneaky hobbit.
Devin's a halfling.
And you should join us, Marcus. Halfling rogue.
maybe if I ever have a moment to myself for as long as I live.
No. You'd be with us.
Yeah.
You can't do it by yourself.
Can't get away from us, Marcus.
Okay.
We're watching you. Yeah. It's really... I feel like we've been doing it long enough to the point where we're starting to get comfortable. Like, mm-hmm. we actually start doing, like, some more creative, you know, actions and ideas and pulling off, like, some feats of that you wouldn't really necessarily...
You pull off people's feet?
I mean, you could.
Yeah, it's called the defeating.
But, like, you know, for...
Defeat.
The first couple of times for me and Valerie both, it was kind of so overwhelming, like, just, like, you know, you have a giant sheet of numbers, and that's supposed to dictate, like, everything about you, and you have this list of things you can do, but, like, how to use that and how you do it. But I think now we're getting to a point where we're getting comfortable in understanding that, like, this is, like, where you start, and then you just, like, literally, you make it up.
Mm-hmm.
Like, so, like, you just use your imagination, and it's being more comfortable and free, like, just breaking off and being creative. And I think we're starting to get to that point where we're feeling like we can.
And our group plays in such a way that it favors, like, creativity and like, you know, fun and kind of goofing around with it more than, like, following staunch, some rules, like, to a T. Whereas, like, there are members in the group who know the rules well enough to be like, if you're like, oh, I want to pull that goblin's ear off. They'll be like, okay, like, roll for strength. Like, let's see what happens.
Like,
and then
I don't know,
maybe
this and we'll fudge
it. Maybe you don't roll well enough to succeed. And then they're like, oh, you just tugged the goblin. And now he's angry at you. Mm. He's coming at you with a sword. Like, you know, it's stuff like that. The goofiness works within the realm of
it. It really goes back to what we said. I think
the loose rules before.
The first time we talked about this, it's really not about the numbers and the rolling and like, the all that weird, like, math stuff that I think turns people away from RPGs. It really is about being creative, about having a good group to tell stories with.
And you really do have maximum creativity in this, because the limits are your brain and what you want to think of doing.
Yeah. So again, like, if you ever want to try it, like, go find a group to do it with. Like, it's been way more enjoyable than I thought it would be.
Do it and join them.
Yeah. Just come join us. I bought The Division.
Yes.
Which is a game that I think two
Reckoning,
episodes ago...
What's that?
It's that game, the New York game with the...
Oh, the boring looking one. Sorry.
It's actually a pretty good looking
My
game.
Tongue slipped.
So Valerie hates video games.
No, I don't. I just think some of them look boring.
It's because you don't understand them.
Oh my
Anyways,
gosh.
I bought The Division on sale. It's fine. It's fine. It's a loot shooter. So you're shooting. You get slightly better guns to shoot, and get slightly better guns to shoot. And, like, you know, it's basically Diablo the shooter. I've soloed it entirely so far. It doesn't seem to really be hindering my progress. It's totally fine.
That's chill.
Yeah.
Sounds so interesting.
I mean, it so...
Valerie, have some restraint. You're out of control.
Roar!
I mean, I don't need every game to be completely engrossing.
Yeah.
I need it to be fun and fulfilling. And this game, if nothing else, you're constantly seeing numbers slowly creep up.
Yeah.
Like... human brains are wired to appreciate, you know, things slowly progressing and filling up and seeing things get bigger. Like, here's my pile of rocks.
You're candy crushing it.
Yeah, literally,
You're just in it for the little dopamine
boost. There's a reason why Candy Crush is successful.
It's called dopamine.
Yeah. So, yes. I'm not afraid to admit that. It's fine. What are you going to do? Come at me. That's right. You're not, because you can't.
I would. You just wouldn't. You wouldn't be able to see me come at you.
So welcome to our marriage counseling podcast.
And
welcome to Mistrust Circle, where Stone and I make jabs at each other.
Jabs.
So one thing I want to talk about, though.
Yeah.
Something we've been waiting for a long time.
Oh, yeah.
Well, you might say, for far too long of a time, Blizzard.
Way too long.
But we finally...
It was worth the wait.
Man, I'm excited. So, here at Trust Circle, We, all three of us, including Valerie, who hates every other game except this one.
I don't hate every game. We love... I just like a select few.
And the one few being Overwatch. We've been waiting for Sombra, the newest character, to be officially announced, released, any info besides the fact that she probably exists for a long time. This past weekend was Blizzard's annual conference, BlizzCon, and they finally revealed her. Marcus, you saw the trailer?
Where were you when Sombra was announced? That's what people are going to be saying.
Tell their children.
Yeah.
Marcus, so tell me your impressions. I haven't heard, because all we said was, like, it exists. We confirmed that with each other, and you're like, I'm going to watch it later. Don't tell me anything. So tell me all about Sombra.
I was at a work conference when Sombra was announced. I was in San Diego, and I stayed with a friend in San Diego after the conference, so I didn't just have to go straight home. And my best friend, Gary...
Gary,
who made us our buttons and the awesome fan art. Our
amazing fan art. Thank you, Gary.
Me and him... And sometimes with you, we all play Overwatch together.
We never beat Junkenstein on hard.
Yes.
We never got to it.
And, I was at this conference, and Sombra came out, and Gary starts texting me, and I was like, wait for me until I get home, or get to our friend's house. And he was losing it. He was like, I can't wait. But he was very nice and patient.
He was a good friend.
And
good guy,
very,
Gary.
A very, very good friend. And then I finally got back to our friend's place, and we watched it on the big screen. And man, oh man, we were in love immediately. Sombra's so cool. All of her powers are really cool.
Crazy.
I spent the morning watching gameplay, and I watched this guy who was really good with her, although it was his first time playing. He just had...
He's clicked with the set.
Yeah, and she's just really... Like, I think I'm gonna try to transition into playing her. She totally fits my play style. I don't have any offense characters that I'm good with currently. Mm-hmm. I think she's going to be the first one. So I'm really excited for Sombra. She's not out yet, and so I'm just trying not to focus on how excited I am and just trying to carry on with the rest of my life.
What did you think about the trailer?
I really liked it.
How they characterized her as, you know, like, not fully a villain, maybe?
Well, I think it's great. And because there's also her background trailer, too. Or how are they calling it? It's not her announcement
reveal
trailer.
Reveal trailer?
It's basically, I think it's her character trailer.
Mm-hmm.
It's 2D animated, or more of that, like, kind of like that, like, 2.5D, you know, just kind of like...
Yeah, the comic book style.
Yeah. And it talks about how she's an orphan and how coding was her...
Mother.
Her release, kind of her way out, and she learned that everyone, that information is... power, and which you saw that play out in that CG trailer when she blackmailed Miss Volskaya.
Miss Volskaya.
And so I got a better idea, is that she's not motivated with the same motivations as the
Reaper.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But she's working with them in order to get what she...
They're a tool for her.
What she really wants.
She's a Slytherin, but she's like a Snape Slytherin, not like a Tom Riddle Slytherin.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I like her character model as is now more than the one, you know, the, from that screenshot that we looked at a couple weeks ago.
Is it different?
I don't know if it's actually different, but it looked a lot more flat. Like, I didn't like that screenshot. But seeing her in the trailer and then seeing, you know, the gameplay videos of her, like, I am much more on board with her character than I was with that initial image.
Yeah.
And man, her power seems super powerful.
Oh, yeah.
She can basically shut down turrets and shields, and she can go invisible, and like, so, like, very stealthy, which is something that we don't really have a character for currently in Overwatch. And I'm very interested to see how that affects, you know, team gameplay when she's actually in there, because one of the things now is shutting down, like, Torbjorn turrets can be a pain in the butt to deal with.
Yeah.
And so having someone that can just flat out just, nope.
So watching the gameplay,
mm-hmm.
seeing it in action, I think it's balanced pretty well, and after she's live, you know, they'll be able
to make tweaking all day long.
Tweaks, but the way her hacking works is that it's her secondary fire, and basically it takes a couple seconds for her hack to complete, and if she's damaged at all during that time, then it will stop and it'll be disrupted.
Mm-hmm.
And so even though being able to shut down turrets is a really powerful ability, it's difficult to get in that close where mm-hmm. like she can complete that full. So she is really powerful, and like she has a lot of just game-changing abilities, but they're you have to be really smart about using it.
Yeah.
And what's going to make that difference between an average player and a really high-performing player is how she uses that teleport.
The teleport's crazy.
It's so... It can... So, I think of it as, you know, Tracer's rewind ability mixed with the versatility of Maze Wall.
Yeah.
And you have just this like ultimate strategic weapon that can do so many creative things. And that's what really excites me about this character, is just learning and like figuring out ways to break the game or just do things that are beyond its initial, you know,
mm-hmm.
uses.
Yeah, I mean, it's like it's like finding, you know, you can use Maze Wall as an elevator, or, you know, learning all the crazy weird things you can do with Lucio's wall run.
Yeah.
Or Pharah's, you know, rocket jump. And that's something that just I think all three of us appreciate about Overwatch is the creativity each character allows players to express. You know, every character has their own weird little techniques and tweaks that if you like dig in and like kind of not exploit their abilities, but just be creative with them.
Yeah.
Well, you can do a lot of unexpected things. And then if you pair characters together, you can even do weirder things.
Yeah. I was on the Overwatch Reddit yesterday.
Mm-hmm. Oh, man. Yeah, I should check in on them.
I watched this clip of this guy who was Junkrat, and he got play of the game
mm-hmm.
and 10 votes at the end of the match because... He blew up himself and, like, launched him over this wall. But then he threw another one down and blasted him up again in midair. And then landed behind the enemy team and then used his rip tire and just blew them all up. And this all took place in, like, 3 seconds. And the amount of precision and the amount of creativity, it just worked out.
That Widowmaker video we saw of, you know, her shooting, like, hitting the basketball up in the air, yeah. and then using her grapple to hit the basketball in the air to pull herself, like, super high up
mm-hmm.
over a wall, and then as she's falling, headshot someone on the way down. And it's like, no one at Blizzard had that in mind when they built those powers.
No.
But the systems make that happen.
Yeah.
And so I think... we're going to see a lot of really cool plays using Songbird. I'm trying to think of, like, you know, different characters you can pair with and just, you know, ways you can cover for her to get in and out. And it, I'm, you know, Anna has taken like a pretty high rank position as far as like character tiers.
Yeah.
Because you can use her powers in some really crazy ways if you know what you're doing. And I think Sombra is just as likely to kind of take a pretty high, a high rank.
I think we're going to see her a lot in competitive play. I think she's going to be, because she fundamentally changes the entire game, because she can hack health packs too. And yeah. So that can totally disrupt the entire flow of a game. And when health doesn't regenerate, if you're a character that has no way to heal themselves, and there's ways to block them off from getting that necessary, you know.
Yeah, and then that I rely on health packs as Junkrat. Like, you know, he pops in, pops out, goes, heals, gets back. Like, that's how I use him.
Yeah.
And so if I go to a health pack that I rely on in a certain spot and it's not there, like, I'm screwed.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it's really, I'm really happy they finally just did it. What bums me out, so they did we've talked about their long, you know, their ARG campaign, where, you know, they had secrets, hidden secrets. But, like, from day one, people were, you know, calling, like, oh, they'll announce her at BlizzCon. And so, like, what do you think about it really just ended up being, like, oh, they announced it at BlizzCon? Like, the most, like, expected thing they could have done, they did, and they just had this really convoluted, drawn-out campaign that at first I was totally behind, but just got way too long for all, and that, oh, they'll announce it at BlizzCon. Like, Was it worth any of it? Was this, like, you know, should they just have not have done any of that at all?
It was kind of fun. It was just, it did get to that point, you know, and then you just got bored and just, like, I mean, even as, like, even this last week, you've been sending me Sombra updates.
Yeah.
And I was just like, I don't
care. Like, I don't care.
I'm just going to wait until they say it. And, you know, I just got sick of it.
Yeah. Conceptually, I loved it. You know, it fit her character perfectly as the hacker to hide things and do things. It just went on like three times too long, and it just kind of got silly. And for it to all end in like everyone's first, you know, first guess.
Yeah.
You know, it,
we had everything figured out, and then everything was leaked too. So we knew what she looked like. We knew we knew what her name was. We knew. Mm-hmm. You know,
one of the things that bums me out about the internet is, like, whether it's games or movies or TV shows, man, you know, talking about Walking Dead spoilers, you know, like, things aren't surprising anymore. Like, it's really hard to be surprised by a game or by a movie or by a show or even, like, by books, because things get leaked, rumors get spread, you know, and if one person has...
When was the last time you were really surprised by something?
I don't know. Like, I really
Breaking
don't.
Bad? Maybe?
Maybe Breaking Bad. There were some moments that Breaking Bad that were pretty surprising. I mean, can you think of anything?
I'd say this past season of Game of Thrones, because I won't do any spoilers, don't worry, but, like, stuff finally happened. And, like, long-awaited plot things, like, finally took place that they've been building up to for seasons upon seasons. And, like, after the last episode of the season, you were left in a place of, like wow. Like, where are they going to go? Like, where can they take this from here? I mean, even my silly show, American Horror Story, has surprised me in certain ways this season.
Yeah. It's so hard to carry a surprise to term, I guess.
Cool metaphor.
I don't know. I guess that's what I had. And, you know, marketing kind of goes against holding things back right now, I think. I think the trend of marketing is to give people as clear a picture of something as possible. And, like, I can get that sort of, but, like, I like being surprised by stuff. You know, I think back to Metal Gear Solid 2 when you didn't play a Solid Snake. And it was like no one knew about that. I think that was a genuine surprise. You know, or you know, this is way before our time, but you know, Metroid was, you know, Samus is a girl.
Yeah.
We don't get moments like that anymore. We don't get Sixth Sense reveals anymore in movies. We don't get Fight Clubs because everyone, you know, reads the script and spreads it around months before the movie releases. And people knew Star Wars months before it released.
Hmm.
So it's kind of a shame. But I'm excited for Sombra. I'm excited for the new map that we're getting at some point. I think December was the date they gave out.
There's two maps.
One is
called Eco Point, and that's coming out when Sombra comes out. And that's May stage.
Ooh, aww. There we go.
That's my...
Space Penguins.
Space Penguins. And then a desert one, I don't know what that's called, but that is December. So, which, first of all, that confuses me that the December one is the desert one.
Not
the snowy one.
Yeah.
But anyway.
We'll see. Overwatch is cool.
I have a fun fact.
It's time for Valerie's fun Overwatch fact of the week.
So, we all know that Bastion's bird is named Ganymede.
Yeah.
But name Ganymede...
Do you know why kids love the taste of Cinnamon Toast Crunch?
It's because it's got the swirls. It's because it's got the cinnamon swirls.
Hmm?
The name Ganymede comes from one of Jupiter's moons.
Mm.
And the moon Ganymede is the only moon that has a magnetic field.
In the universe?
In the known universe.
Oh.
In the known universe that we know?
I mean...
What?
I don't know.
I like that.
Devin's gone off the deep end. I'm going to go swim out.
I've gone rogue.
And just pull him back in. Just float him on back.
Get him a lifesaver. Uh-huh. Throw it out there. Uh-huh. Ask him to grab it.
So, what are you two looking forward to? Game, movie, show, book, any music media-wise between now and the end of the year? 2016 is almost done. And assuming that we get to, you know, live out the rest of it because of results of an election that happened yesterday, what are you guys looking forward to?
Assuming the maw of the underworld doesn't open up this week and swallow us whole. I'm looking forward to a couple movies, because this is Valerie's Movie Corner. I'm looking forward to a movie called Arrival, which I saw a trailer for. Hmm? Okay, moving right along. I've seen a couple, like, short, kind of like teaser trailers for it, and all I know is that aliens arrive in these giant pod-like things, and then Amy Adams is a translator, and she has to kind of figure out, like, what they're trying to communicate.
And if they're hostile or if they're
hostile
not.
Hostile or friendly.
Yeah.
And then I'm skeptically looking forward to the Fantastic Beasts and Where to Find Them movie. Mm-hmm. If only to get to spend a little bit more time in the Harry Potter world.
Yeah, that's the only draw for that movie for me,
mm-hmm.
too. Is just,
yeah.
Well, it's Harry Potter. Well, it's that universe.
Yeah.
I'm not super invested in the actual...
I mean, the characters are all basically created for the movie.
Yeah.
I mean, aside from Newt Scamander, but...
I'm intentionally distancing myself from it so that hopefully there's something that I can be, you know, surprised by. Because, man, I love Harry Potter. The movies weren't
the
part that
the
I
movies
like,
really
Potter,
didn't
though.
Do it justice. Like, when people are like, oh, I didn't like Harry Potter, and I was like, oh, have you read the books? They're like, no, I've only seen the movies.
Like,
I'm like,
well that's
why!
But yeah, no, we will absolutely see it. I just, you know, I'm protecting my heart.
Yeah, we'll see it at a matinee showing, is what we'll say about this movie.
What about you, Marcus? Actually, how's Skyrim?
Skyrim.
You liking it?
Skyrim's fantastic. It's everything that I hoped it would be. It's better than I thought, or better than I hoped it would be. It's in many ways exactly how I remember it.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just, when I play it, I'm just in complete zen. I'm just happy.
You're experiencing tranquility?
I am. And I just totally love it. I'm having so much fun. It's a good stress reliever.
Yes, it is.
When I play it, I just... don't know, I'm just completely at peace. Yeah.
That was my go-to finals week video game through college.
Yeah.
It was like, if I'm not studying, I'm playing Skyrim because I need to just get out of here.
Mm-hmm.
What else are you looking forward to through the rest of the year?
Nothing.
Nothing?
I have Skyrim.
What about Watch Dogs?
I have Skyrim. Like, I'm looking forward to Watch Dogs. But, I mean, I want Watch Dogs. I'm not necessarily anticipating it. You know, I just...
What about Last Guardian?
I'm completely contained. Content.
He's contained.
I'm completely contained. No, I'm completely content with Skyrim.
Aww. See? Winter's not so bad after all. You got Skyrim. I have
Skyrim.
What if I make you Christmas cookies using the set of 50 Christmas cookie cutters? Or just, no, 50 animal cookie cutters that I insisted on putting on our wedding registry.
Yes.
I'll make you all 50 animals.
Yes.
50 cookies.
Well, I'm looking forward to Watch Dogs.
Mm-hmm.
The more I see that game, the more I'm ready to play it. I think it's going to be stupid, but in a good way. So we'll see. Dishonored comes out next week. I really liked the first. The first Dishonored was probably one of my favorite, if not my favorite, game of the last generation.
Is that a Bethesda game?
Yeah.
Okay.
So, you know, I won't know anything about it until the day it releases, because Bethesda values media reviews.
But you did just finish talking about how there's no surprises anymore, and that's a shame.
That's different contexts. We're over time, so I don't have time to go into that. But
yes. I'll let the audience know that I'm looking smugly at Devin.
They can hear it. Don't worry.
As the hand silences you.
But I hope Dishonored's okay. But I'm not gonna lie, like, I am soured on that game because of the review decision. Like, but then, you know, it's not the developer's fault. Like, that wasn't their decision. It's not Arkane's decision to do any of that. That's a higher up executive level business decision. So now I'm torn between, like, well, do I quote unquote protest with my wallet for Bethesda, or do I support a studio that I really appreciate their work? It's kind of messy there.
Yeah.
I'm interested to see what The Last Guardian is. I don't think it's going to be... I don't know.
It's impossible for it to live up to the hype unless it's the best game ever made, which it likely will not be.
But it'll be interesting to see it actually existing. But mostly Watch Dogs. And... I'm excited for Christmas.
That's cool.
Yeah. We're going to go back up north to see Miss Valerie's parents.
Mm.
But yeah, I mean, it's dark outside, guys.
Yeah, it is.
Sun is set.
Yep.
And with that, I think the sun is set on this episode. As always, please... listen to our show, first of all. If you haven't listened to all of our shows, there's 9 others. You can go hit them up while you're there. Subscribe to us. We are on iTunes. We are on... Are we on Google Play yet?
Yep.
We're there. We're up. We are soon to be on SoundCloud.
Yeah. I don't know. Just wherever you listen to things...
You'll find us. There. You'll find us. We're everywhere. Top Shelf Gaming. We're on Twitter. We got Facebook. You can send us questions, emails, fan art.
You want to hear us talk about something? We'll talk about it.
We'll talk about it.
And if you want to pay us to talk about something, we're open to that,
too. We'll put that money in our pockets.
We'll chill.
Yeah.
You can send emails to...
TrustCircle@topshelfgaming.net.
.net. Well, Marcus.
Yeah.
Valerie.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you for joining me once again for 10 episodes in a row.
Oh. Scrooge, Sourpuss, and Smug.
We're podcasters now.
Happy fall.
There's 3 months of this.
Mm-hmm. We'll see you guys next week with our ears.